And if never before, as Christians, we need to contend for the faith. We need to understand that we are in a warfare of unprecedented levels. Never before has the church seen so much, and things have happened in the Old Testament, New Testament, speaking of the Christian church, but we're in a different time. We're in the enemy is loose and running around rampant. And even though there's nothing new that's under the sun, but I'm here to let you know it's some crazy stuff that's running up and down throughout the land, spiritually, naturally, on and on. But Jude, in verse 1, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Right away, he lets you know that I am a slave to Jesus Christ. I am a bondservant to Jesus Christ. He is my master. He is my Lord. Jude, the servant. Can we put that after our names? The servant of Jesus Christ. He says, and brother in his greeting of James. And the letter is written, he says, to them that are sanctified. To those who are set apart for God's special purpose. Isn't that awesome? To be sanctified means to be called out. To be set apart for a special service by God. To them who are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. That, listen to this, you're called out, sanctified, set aside to do a great work, preserved. God cares for you and God preserves you and keeps you, what, in Jesus Christ and called. He writes and he says in verse 2, mercy unto you and peace. And love be multiplied. Amen. It's a greeting, but he's saying, listen, as we continue to grow in our knowledge and our understanding, as we continue to grow in love, loving one another, what it means to be like Christ, what it means to love your brother as God loves you, amen, we ought to love one another. There's something that should be multiplied in our conduct. And we don't do it just to be seen. We don't do it to get accolades of men. We don't do it to get pats on the back. We do it because it's in us. Because he's in us. God is love. And that is one of the main great attributes of God. Amen. He is a God of love. And if we are his children, if we have crossed from death to life, if we have been born again, if there is a new man, a new creature, a new creation, amen, then he's got to be one who understands and operates and lives in love. Because without love, we can't make it. Love covers, what, a multitude of sin. Amen? So we have to operate in love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is so imperative. Thank God for the giftings. Thank God for how he uses us. Many of you have great abilities. God uses you. But listen, if you're not rooted and grounded and it's based in love, you may speak well, you may sing well, you may do all the things, but if you're not in love, if you're not building the house in love, if the house of God isn't founded and built on love, everything that we do is subject to crumble. Because it's built, amen, on pride. It's built on flesh. It's built on man's wisdom, on man's ego. And all of those things that we've seen throughout time, they fall down. But what does the word say? Only what you do for Christ will last. And when you're working for Christ and you're in Christ, amen, you're working in love. He says, love be multiplied in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He's saying, listen, that's what was really on my heart. I wanted to sit down and write, amen, to my brothers and sisters concerning our common salvation. I wanted to exhort you and I wanted to just encourage you. But as I was preparing, the Spirit of God begin to shift me into an urgency and to a warning. And he says here, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, but it was needful or necessary for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, as you know, any time, amen, any time that God, amen, speaks to us and he warns us, amen, he knows, amen, what the enemy is trying to do. So here, Jude, in obedience, amen, he begins to focus off of what he was initially talking about was common salvation, and he begins to shift his message to a warning and to a need to wake up and alarm believers of the deceitful tactics of the enemy. It was necessary for me to write on to you and exhort you that you should earnestly, wholeheartedly, that you should press and contend. What does contend mean? It means to strive. It means to struggle. It means to persevere. It means to have all due diligence to contend for what? The faith, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says here, why? Which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Just as there were men who crept in then, there are people who creep in now. And this message is timeless. Not only was he speaking of then, but he's speaking of all the church, past, present, and future. That you and I have a duty, amen, to be watchful, that we need to contend for the gospel. Because there are many so-called gospels that are being released in the land. There are many so-called gospels that are being preached over the pulpit. There are many so-called gospels that are being proclaimed as God's word, and they are not. So he said, this message, amen, that was once delivered to the saint, don't alter it. Don't allow it to be altered. Don't be duped. Don't be deceived. Don't allow anybody to come in with any new age teaching, with any new philosophy, or this, listen, the same gospel. Amen. Amen. And what did Paul say? If we or another come preaching any other message, any other gospel, than that which we've preached, let them be accursed. Now, those are strong words, but they're meant to be strong words. Amen. Because there are deceivers, there are people who have crept into the church, and they have all sorts of motives and agendas. They don't care about God's flock. They only are concerned about their popularity. They don't care about the sheep, but they're looking, what can they obtain from the people? They don't care about you, but they want to know how you can make them rich, how you can make them powerful, how you can propel and promote them to where they want to go. God is saying you need to be aware, for there are those who are crept into the church and their sole agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the plan of Satan, is to deceive, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you would have life and that more abundantly. And listen to this. One awesome thing about God, he will not have us to be ignorant of the Satan's devices. Amen. God will not allow us, amen, pray for discernment, stay in the word, stay in the presence of God. Say, God, give me wisdom, give me direction, open up my eyes, give me eagle eye discernment that when the enemy comes in through your spirit, I will be able to recognize right away who or what it is. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they have an entourage. Doesn't matter if they're on TV. It doesn't matter if everybody knows their name. If they're not preaching this gospel, if they're not preaching this word, if they're not preaching the truths of the gospel. Now, I'm not trying to be ritualistic in saying that, you know, we're all perfect or anything, but there's a difference. When an enemy has a diabolical agenda to destroy and deceive and dismember and annihilate you, there's a difference. Amen. We can all make errors. Amen. We can all make mistakes. But let's get corrected and let us move on. But there is an enemy who desires to sift us as wheat. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to have you. He desires to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith would fail you not. Contend for the faith. Hold on to your faith. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't let go of the plow, but keep pressing. Keep struggling. Keep leaning. Keep going forward in the things of God. It may be a test. Whatever you're going through, I'm speaking to somebody right now. You may be going through something right now, but guess what? Hold on. Look to your neighbor and say, hold on. Because the first thing, amen, the enemy, he wants us to do is give up. He wants us to take the path of least resistance. But sometimes your greatest reward is staying on course. It may be difficult. Your trial may be hard. The test may, as we may think, may be strong, but stay on course. Stay in the race. Stay on the wheel. Let God do what he's doing in our lives. Amen. Even as that Jeremiah, amen, he observed the potters, amen, and the clay on the wheel, and the wheel is spinning. And the wheel, amen, the clay, it looks formless. But he continues to work with it, even in its flaws, yet he continues in patience and in craftsmanship to make it something great. Isn't that what God does with us? Here we are, we're but dust, we're but clay. Amen. We're flawed, but God still loves us. And he works with most of us. We would have threw that stuff away. Said, man, this stuff ain't worth fixing, ain't worth working on. It's got pebbles in it, rocks in it, stones in it. But Jesus loves us even with our mars, even with our scars, even with all the foreign debris that have crept in. And you know what? As a master craftsman, he continues to stroke us in love, to work with our imperfections. And you know what? And guess what? Over time, you become something beautiful. Matter of fact, he calls you beautiful even before it looks beautiful. Even when we were in sin, God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Even when we weren't thinking about him, he still loved us while we were still out there doing our crazy stuff. Yet God loved us even in that stinky state that we were in. That's why we can't allow this message to be adulterated. We cannot allow this message of God's grace, of God's love, of God's salvation be altered, because it is the saving power. And one thing that the devil, he always tries to do, is pervert every good thing that God does. He tries to twist it and alter it and nullify it, but we've got to hold the line. Look to your neighbor and say, hold the line. Don't know what that means. Means stay in place. Don't allow yourself to get out of position. Amen. Keep fighting. Keep laboring. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep trusting God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening on the job, no matter what's going on in the marriage, no matter what's happening in ministry, no matter what's happening in the family, God says, stay on task. Stay on target, because you don't fully realize, amen, that people are looking to you, that people are looking up to you. They might not look, say it, they might not let you know, but they're looking for that stability, and many times they're looking to us and Christ that's on the inside of us. And our job is, when they come to us, we point them right back to Jesus and say, it's not me, but it's God on the inside of me. It's Christ that gives me strength. It's not that I'm so smart. It's not that I'm so bad, or it's not that I'm so good, but it's Christ in me. Let me let you know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, that he is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He is able to preserve and protect you. He is able to guard you and keep you. He is able to be all that you need him to be. Look to Jesus. People are looking in so many directions. They're looking to the bottle. They're looking to drugs. They're looking to relationships. They're looking to sex. They're looking to accolades and all these things of men. And they're looking for position. And within its place, all of that is good. Amen. You ought to be diligent and a hard worker and look for a productive lifestyle. But without Christ, what does it prosper a man or woman to gain the whole world and lose your soul? I tell people sometimes, you know, so, well, I don't know if I believe in this Jesus stuff. I don't know. Well, you know, every man has to make that decision. But I ask you, so, do you have car insurance? Well, I haven't had an accident in 20 years. Do you have car insurance? Well, it's the law of the land. Yeah, I have car insurance. Isn't it nice to know, and I'm glad you haven't had an accident, but isn't it something, amen, that if you need it, you know it's there, so you won't have to suffer a catastrophic loss if your house burns down, if your car explodes, that you can say, you know what, I can call up Geico, I can call up State Farm, I can call up this company and say, listen, write me a check. Now, that's natural wisdom. How much more should we be concerned about eternity? What if, even by chance, what that preacher was saying was right? Why would you take a chance? And I know it is right, but I'm just for argument's sake. What if what I said was right concerning the word of God? And you died. And you stood before God. And you rejected God's Son. And hear him say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I know you not. I never knew you. How tragic would that be to know that this policy didn't cost you any money? This policy was simply saying, Lord, save. Lord, I don't fully understand all of the small print. Lord, it's beyond me, but save me. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I don't understand the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but save me. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. God, I have trouble, God, even believing some things, but God, I trust you. Save me. Don't you know that we serve a wise God and a righteous God? and a loving God. Many people, we paint God as some desperate gangster, amen, with a six-shooter on him, just ready to shoot you down or cut you. No, God, he said, with loving kindness have I drawn you. He's demonstrated his love through his son, Christ Jesus. But we allow this image, you know, that God is this angry being. And he wants to kill you. Kill the kids. And let me say this, and this is some deep things I'm about to say. We think, well, what about the Old Testament? You know, where people were wiped out and earth was destroyed and so on. And said, why would a loving God allow some family to die in a tornado, in a hurricane? Why would God allow a family to die through a car accident? Why would a God of love allow a family to suffer? And those of you who understand and have experienced it and know people who have experienced those, that's a pain that you can't understand unless you've been through it. So we try to equate that with a loving God. Why would God allow me to suffer? You know what I say? I ain't trying to be deep. I said, sometimes I don't know. But one thing I do know, that he's sovereign. And even as Job said, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What that says is, he is creator, he is sovereign, he is the king of the universe, and maybe in my limited understanding, there's something in play that I can't grasp. Maybe through the death of that young one, maybe 10 others came to Christ. Maybe through the death of that people, maybe a nation was spared. Maybe your great-great-great-grandchildren would be able to stay alive because God removed some things off the scene. I don't know. But I have to say, God, even though I don't fully understand it, even though it doesn't compute all the time, I trust you. Why did I lose my job and I lost my house and everything that I've worked for, everything that I've saved, my savings is gone, my marriage is gone, my kids in jail, I've lost this and I've lost that. Lord, why did I go through this? I don't know. But the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me say this. Our life is like a vapor. This short life that we have is like a flower that it blooms and the petals quickly fade away. This isn't really living. We're preparing to step into eternity where real life begins. Right now we're in time, but where we're going to exit time and enter into eternity. So that's why Paul says, even concerning the trials, these light afflictions are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed on the other side. So sometimes you may be going through it here. It's temporary. God is getting you ready for glory. Remember, when we leave here, a lot of people say, a lot of teachings say, different groups, listen, when you die, it's it. You're like an animal, no, nothing. No, it's a lie. You and I, we are a trichotomy. We are tripartite beings. Listen, we are spirits. That's what we are. This body that you see in front of you, the body that you're sitting down in, it is not the real you. The real you is on the inside. It's a spirit. When God formed Adam, he breathed into him, his nostrils, a living soul. So that flesh that was made from clay, from molecules, and from all of those things is a body. This is a body, but the real you is a spirit man. And that's why Paul can say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This body goes to the earth, but the spirit goes back to the God who made it. So understand this, that we are eternal beings. And when this body, amen, reaches its mileage limit, and God says, it's time for you to come to glory, we will all stand before God and receive the reward based on how we've lived this life. Verse 4 again says, for there are certain men crept in. Now these men, you got to understand, you understand the whole dynamic here, are not just men. They're men, but they're motivated by demonic forces. There is a warfare going on, and guess what? Man is the prize. Man is the focal point. And these entities, these demons, these beings, fallen angels, amen, they want to destroy you. They hate you. They despise you. And because you were created in the image of God, and because they hate God, they hate his children. And they can't really take it out on God, because they can't do nothing to God. So they think that they can take it out on his kids. But what they don't understand is that God, he protects his kids. God watch over his kids. God, he sends his angels to encamp about them, around those who fear him and live upright before him. And guess what? You and I can't leave until God says it's over. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what test. I don't care what disease. I don't care what stroke. I don't care what sickness. Listen, you can't leave here until God say it's time to come home. So no matter what the devil may come against you with, he may attack your body, he may attack your home, he may attack your finances, he may attack you here and there, but you can't go until God said job completed. So you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to be wondering, Lord, is this the big one? Lord, is this the hard one? Well, if it's the big one, then it's time to go home. But don't let the devil torment you, making you wonder what's going to happen now. Know that your hand, that God's hand protects you. You are in the hands of God. And those that are in the Father's hands. So I don't have to fear what man can do to me. You don't have to fear what devil may try to can do against you with tactics, with devices. You don't have to fear any of that, because if God be for us, then who or what? Listen to that. Who means any living body. I don't care if they don't like you. I don't care if they despise you. I don't care if they want to set you up. I don't care if they want to falsely accuse you. I don't care. It doesn't matter who or what can be against you. God is on the side of the righteous. And if God is on the side of the righteous, he will fight for you. He will vindicate you. He will stand in. When the enemy comes in as a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. God said, this is my son and this is my daughter. No matter what, they got work to do. Let them go in Jesus' name. You think about life of the Christian, those that completed their assignment. God allowed them to go home. But those that weren't done, no matter what you did to them, you think about Paul. They stoned him, shipwrecked, left him for dead, imprisoned him, did all sort of. But listen, it wasn't time for him to go. He had to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to this real quick. I'm about to close. Matthew 16. Thank you, Jesus. Contend for the faith. Don't give up. Fight, as Paul told Timothy, the good fight of faith. For Paul to say fight the good fight lets you know that you will be in some combat situations. You will be in some struggling situations. But fight the good fight of faith. Don't fight with your own power. Don't fight with your own ability, but rest through the power of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16 and 16, I'm going to jump there for sake of time. Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." Listen, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ, he is the anointed. Greek word, the Christos, sent and appointed by God. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, Savior, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Let me say this real quick. As we continue to have a relationship with Christ, and as we continue to stay in the face of God, if we continue to stay in the presence of God, God will reveal things to you others may not see. It is not that God loves you more, but because you're hungry, because you're seeking his face. "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled." So, but listen to this. But God blessed him. And he said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you." But then verse 18, he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, let me say this. Traditionally, I've taught and I teach, as most of you probably agree, that this revelation was not so much about Peter, but about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I have to concede, and as you look at it and think about it, and that's true, what I just said. But then he says, "But thou art Peter." Peter, you get into the semantics, a little stone. And he says, "And upon this rock I will build my church." Now, let me break this down here. First of all, he says, "I will build my church." Now, when you build in the natural, you need real estate. You have to expand your building. Amen? So you need space, which sets us up for the next few words. He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell." Now listen, gates do one of two things, or two things. Gates keep people out, and gates keep people in. They more mainly are defensive. What the Lord is saying, he's saying that my kingdom is going to expand. And I am going to make a frontal assault. We think of it the other way around, but I'm going to make such a frontal assault in the land that even the gates of hell cannot withstand me or stop me or prevail me from building my church. That I am going to tear down every stronghold, every fortress, every place that the enemy has taken and all those who are captive in it. And he's saying here that the gates will not stand or keep me from forward progression in building the kingdom. Now, let me say this. Then I said the revelation, we talk about Jesus. But the other thing is, God is saying, but I'm going to use, yeah, I'm the foundation stone, I'm the keystone, but I'm going to use little stones. I'm going to use people such as yourself, Peter. But Peter wasn't the only one, because it's really all of us. But he says, I'm going to use you in the process of doing or building my kingdom. So what is God saying? He says, I'm raising up men and women who have an understanding and a revelation of who I am, who have experienced an intimate relationship with me, because only then can you really know who I am, can you really be effective in what you're doing. Because you understand who you're working for and the power of God that's abiding in and around and through your life. So he says, I'm going to use you, Peter. I'm going to use you, man of God, you, woman of God, to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not keep me from advancing. So here's the awesome thing, that you and I have assignments that knowing that if God be for us, who or what can be against us? And knowing that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, and God has given us an assignment, God has given us a mandate, God has given us a command to go into the hedges and the highways, compelling men and women to be saved. And if God is saying he's going to build his kingdom and he's going to kick down every stronghold, every vestige, every tower that the enemy has used, God is saying, I'm going to demolish it, and the kingdom of God shall be advanced. And in the process, those that are held captive, those that are bound through the prison of Satan's device will be set free from invading armies of believers like you and I, who will go to the street and will snatch back those who have been held captive. It's a lot of different parallels and meanings. You can go even when Jesus went and preached to the other, but it speaks to us even here on earth, that we will go back and steal the territory that was, and take back the territories that was once ours. And we will go, amen, to those places, to those people who are in bondage, with a message, with a word, that Jesus loves you. You can be saved. Repent. Turn your life to Jesus. And he says, to further that up, he didn't say, I'm going to keep the keys to myself. That's what I'm saying. He's going to use people. He could have, because, you know, but he's saying, I will give unto thee people, you, Peter, apostles, disciples, ministers, men and women of God, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And listen to this: whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you see it? God is looking for men and women. The Marines have a slogan: we're looking for a few good men. Well, God is looking for a few good men and women who are saying, God, I'll go. Who will stay in the face of God and stay in the presence of God, and God will reveal himself to them, and they will have a revelation of Jesus Christ, and God will use them, God will pour into them, God will give them authority in the earth, and they will advance against the kingdoms of darkness, and they will go back forcibly and take back everything that the devil has stolen. And by faith and by the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of God that's on the inside of us, in the name of Jesus, we will exercise the authority party, and we will kick the gates open in Jesus' name. And people that are in shackles, that's what they are, people that are bound, people that are in prison, people are shackled in their mind, people are shackled emotionally, people are shackled in their body, people are shackled in so many ways, but God is saying, I want you to go forth throughout the earth, and in the name of Jesus, I've given you the keys, I've given you the authority, I want you to speak my word, I want you to know, because you understand and know who I am, and because I live on the inside of you, and because you have given yourself to me, God is saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. People say, well, I don't see it in the church. Well, you have not had a revelation of who Jesus is. Because once you really have a revelation of Jesus the Christ, and you understand, amen, that God said, come up higher, then God will give you the authority, and God will give you the power, and great signs and wonders and miracles, and all of these manifestations of the Holy Ghost shall be wrought because you believe God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe God. Everyone standing. He's raising up an army. There are many people who come. Many people, even as Pastor Marion spoke last week about one of the lepers. There are many people who know of Christ. But do they really know him? You got folks that come for the fishes and the loaves, but are you hungry for the living word? You want a happy meal, but do you want the bread of life? You're looking for a Big Mac, but I'm looking for Big Jesus. Just don't give me some crumbs. I want the whole loaf. I'm hungry for God. I'm thirsty for God. I crave for his presence. If you're here, in closing, whatever you stand in need of, the altar's open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I got an insurance policy for you. No strings attached. Not looking for kickbacks. I'm not looking for incentives. I just want you to be at peace and have the assurance to know that the day that God calls us home, you can with confidence be in the presence of God, knowing that your reward is with you.